As you've already guessed, we have another exciting Bible story for you about the life of David. Uncle Dan, your last story was a sad one concerning the death of King Saul.
Yes, Aunt Sue.
Before the battle began, King Achish, with whom David had marched to fight against the children of Israel, was prevailed upon by the Philistines to send David back to Ziklag. What became of David and his men?
Well, Aunt Sue, that's exactly what our story is going to be about today. It's an exciting one, with some strange and unexpected developments. Today's story, found in 1 Samuel chapters 30 and 31, and 2 Samuel chapter 1, is called
Surprise Attack.
Now before the battle began between the Israelites and the Philistines, King Achish called David and said to him,
"As the Lord lives, you have been honest, and to me it seems right that you should march out and in with me in the campaign. Nevertheless, the Philistine lords do not approve of you. So go back that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines."
So David set out with his 600 men early in the morning before the battle to return to Ziklag. Sometime during the third day of forced marching,
Joab.
Yes, David, sir.
The men need rest. We'll stop in that grove of trees. If I remember correctly, there's a small stream running along there.
Yes, sir.
Joab, sit down a while. I want to talk to you. We were very fortunate, you know. God was good to us, working it out so that we didn't have to go to battle with the Philistines and kill our own people.
David, would you actually have done it?
No. No, I wouldn't have. I couldn't have.
David, some of the men, they... Well, frankly, sir, some of them think you haven't been doing right in deceiving King Achish.
I know, Joab. I led him to believe we've been fighting the Israelites, when actually we've been fighting and completely destroying some of the smaller, idol-worshipping tribes of Canaan.
What would you have done if King Achish had insisted you go along into the battle?
I don't know. I've been putting my trust in God. I asked him to cause something to happen so we wouldn't have to go. And I simply believed he would.
Yeah, which is exactly what did happen. Yet I don't see how you could have put your trust completely in God when you've been disobedient and disrespectful to him by being deceitful.
I know, I couldn't have. Had I not already confessed my sins and asked God's forgiveness before we joined forces with King Achish. God has been very long-suffering with me, in spite of my many sins and lack of faith.
Almost there. Almost home.
Joab, do you see what I see? Smoke?
Yes, which means that the women are preparing a large feast for our return.
Preparing a feast? Impossible. They didn't know we were returning. We didn't know it ourselves.
Well, then what's all that smoke about? Oh, it must be from cooking fires. Oh. It's got to be. Or could it be? Oh, no, not that.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
That our village may be on fire.
Exactly, Joab. Men, forward on the double. Each man for himself.
Rounding a corner in the rocky trail, David and his men come suddenly upon Ziklag, their home. But a terrible sight meets their horrified gaze. Ziklag is burned to the ground. Dumb with horror and amazement, David and his men for a few moments gaze in silence upon the blackened and smoldering ruins. Then, as a sense of their terrible desolation bursts upon them, the battle-scarred warriors cry out with wailing and weeping.
My home, God, reduced to ashes. The entire town, every building. Not a living thing anywhere, not even so much as a dog. Oh, Abigail. Abigail!
David, sir. David, what do you think happened here?
Raiders. Raiders. They knew we were gone, so they came and they did this.
But who? Which tribe? Or was it a roving band of marauders?
No, I don't know, Joab. See what you can do about calming the men. Comforting them as best you can.
I'll try, sir.
A
I tried to stop them, David, but they're maddened with grief
you
and
rage. You keep on this, Joab!
What seems to be the trouble?
Trouble, trouble! Our homes, our wives and children, all our possessions gone. And why? Because of you, David, that's why. For years we followed wherever you led. We've obeyed you, fought your battles for you, been faithful and loyal to you. Then you came here to Philistia. Now God has forsaken you as he did Saul. You are to blame. We're going to stone you today.
Just a minute, men. Men, just a minute. May I say something? I'd like to say something, if you'll allow me. Why do you blame me for this? It isn't my fault.
It is your fault. It's your lack of faith that led you in the first place to seek refuge here with the Philistines.
And made the heathen tribes of the south of us angry by attacking them. This is probably your way of getting even with us.
At the same time, you led King Achish to believe that you were fighting the Israelites instead of the friends of the Philistines. God can't bless a liar.
Yes, it is my fault. I failed to trust in God as I should have.
Listen to him, man. He admits it's his fault. Down with him, I say. Down with David.
Men, listen to me. Please listen to what I have to say. If then you wish to stone me, you may. I deserve it.
Men, I think we owe David that much. At least to listen to what he has to say.
Thank you, Joab. I'm guilty of having too little faith. I'm guilty of all you say. But I too have lost all that is near and dear to me. Saul drove me from Israel. The Philistines didn't want me in their camp. My home has been plundered, my dear ones taken captive. I've been hunted, persecuted, perplexed, and distressed. And now in the midst of all these calamities, you, my own friends, threaten me with death.
You deserve to die!
That may be, yet before you carry out your intentions, I ask only that you permit me to pray. This is not the time to dwell upon our extremity. Instead, we should look earnestly to God for help. Oh, God, we need you. We need your help at this time. I have lacked faith and trust in thee. I have been guilty of deceiving King Achish. Forgive me now, I pray. Now, O God, in our utter helplessness and distress, we turn to thee in complete trust and confidence. Amen. Abiathar, will you step forward, please? While he's coming up, I wish to remind you that Abiathar is the priest, son of Ahimelech. As God's representative here in our midst, he shall answer one question. Then do with me what you will.
Yes, David.
Abiathar, I inquire of the Lord through you. Shall I pursue after this band of marauders? Shall I overtake them?
David, son of Jesse, the Lord gives you an answer of peace. Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall rescue all.
Men, we have no time to lose. We must pursue after this band of marauders immediately. We're traveling too heavily loaded. Some of the men just can't go any farther. We'll stop there by the brook Besor.
Yes, sir.
Joab, how many does that leave strong enough to go on?
400, sir.
The Lord can deliver by many or by few. The 200 will stay here and watch over the supplies. We'll rest a while, and then 400 of us will push on. We'll move on at a steady pace. The men will carry only the most necessary supplies, leaving the rest here for the 200 to watch over.
Yes, sir.
General Joab!
Isn't someone calling you, Joab?
It sounded like it, David, but there's so much noise, I can't be sure.
Call a halt.
Company! Halt!
General Joab!
Yes! What do you want?
We found a man here that looks as though he's injured.
I'll be right there.
I'll go with you, Joab.
Is this the man?
Yes, sir.
He does look like he's injured.
He may just be faint from lack of food and water, sir.
Give him something to eat, some bread and water.
Have not eaten for 3 days.
Here, try some of this. Anyway, take it easy. To eat too fast, it may make you sick. Yes.
Good bread.
Here, take a swallow of water.
Thank you.
Give him a cake of figs and some raisins.
I don't have any, sir.
I have a few. Here.
Now eat this cake and these raisins. Make you feel better.
Cake is good. Water.
All right, but now only 2 swallows this time.
Yes.
Now, some of these raisins. Oh, you like raisins, eh?
Good.
You feel better, too, don't you?
Much, much better. Stronger.
Strong enough to answer a few questions? Yeah. You're our prisoner. You have to tell us whom you belong to and where you're from.
Yes, I am Egyptian. Servant in the household of the Amalekites.
Well, what are you doing here?
The master left me because I fell sick.
How long have you been here?
3 days.
Your master was, maybe, an officer of a war party of Amalekites?
We made an invasion on the south part of Kerethites and on the Judean coast. Also, the city of Ziklag. We burned it with fire.
And what did your masters do with the women and children of Ziklag?
They are made prisoners. Slaves, like me, in the land of the Amalekites.
Your masters left you here 3 days ago on their way home?
Yes, sir.
Are they traveling slow or fast?
Slow, sir. They have many cattle and sheep as booty of war. And also many prisoners. The masters, also are drunk most of the time. They travel very slow.
Do you think you can show us where your masters are now? Where they're camped? Well, can you?
I will tell you. If you promise not to kill me or give me back to my Amalekite master.
I swear it.
Then I'll show you where the Amalekite masters are camped. I will take you there.
Joab, bring up one of the supply donkeys for this man to ride on.
Yes, sir.
The Amalekite camp is there, beyond the hill.
We'll stop here, Joab.
Yes, sir. Regiment! Halt!
Joab, come with me. We're going to spy out the enemy camp.
Yes, sir.
This is far enough, Joab.
Phew, they're spread out all over the whole valley. And look at the spoils of hundreds of cattle, sheep, and all those other animals.
Listen. They're celebrating.
Dancing and drinking, too. They haven't the slightest idea that we're anywhere near.
That's a general fault of these heathen people. They eat and drink and dissipate over a victory, leaving themselves wide open for attack. Of course, they think, if they think at all, that we're with Achish fighting the Israelites.
To them, danger lurks not within 100 miles. And here we are, ready to pounce on them.
That's an ideal time to surprise them. Come, let's go back. I'll order an immediate attack. The enemy lies in the valley just over the hill. They far outnumber us. But the Lord plainly told me that we would be successful in rescuing our loved ones and recovering all our goods and cattle. God will give us success. We attack at once. Now remember, your wives and children are in that camp, so be careful. Also remember, the Amalekites are our enemies, God's enemies. All right, Joab.
Regiment! Forward! March!
Oh, I hear soldiers marching. What's going on, anyway?
Regiment! Attack!
A battle? Now, who could be fighting who?
And the battle continued all that night and the next day. Finally, the fierce battle ended.
Oh, Abigail!
David! Oh, David, I didn't expect ever to see you again.
Oh, for a while I didn't either, but God is good. In spite of my lack of faith in him and my grievous sins, he forgave me. And here we are, together again.
Oh, David, it was such a frightening experience, being carried away as a captive slave by those uncouth Amalekites.
David, sir! David, I'm ready to give you a report.
Yes, Joab. Did any of the Amalekites escape?
Well, about 400 young men, sir. They jumped on camels, made their getaway.
Well, how did we fare?
We haven't lost a single man, sir.
Good. How about our women and children?
We've rescued everyone, sir. Not a one is missing or even hurt. And we've recovered all the cattle and flocks the Amalekites took from us. Besides, a great number they've taken as war booty from the Kerethites and the Calebites.
Gather them all together. Tomorrow morning, we start the slow journey back to Ziklag.
Then David departed from the field of battle, and he and the 400 men and their wives and children with their herds and flocks of cattle and sheep. And when David came to the brook of Besor, where the 200 men who had been faint and weary remained, they came out to meet him and the people that were with them, and there was a great rejoicing among them. And certain of the more unruly and selfish of the 400 who had fought with David said to him,
David, sir, these 200 men stayed here at the brook Besor and went not with us and fought the Amalekites. Therefore, we will not give them any of the spoils that we have recovered. Except, of course, each man should have back his own wife and children.
You shall not do so, my brother. Why are you so selfish and hard-hearted?
Selfish and hard-hearted? They didn't risk their lives in battle. Why should they share in the spoils of that battle?
The victory is the Lord's, not ours. He preserved us and delivered us from the hands of the Amalekites. Each man shall share and share alike, both he who went forth into battle and he who remained here with our equipment. Men, please, just a minute. Furthermore, from this day forward, it shall be a law in Israel that all shall share alike in the booty of wars. Those who stay behind and take care of equipment, and those who march into battle.
Now there dwelt in the city of Jabesh-Gilead men of God, gallant, brave men. When the news reached them of the death of King Saul and his three sons, and when they were told how their bodies hung from the wall of Bethshan, their indignation was aroused, and an emergency meeting was called.
Now, fellow Israelites, a disgrace has come upon our nation and our king and our God. King Saul is dead, killed by his own sword, 'tis true. Yet we must not permit the shame and disgrace that the king of the Philistines has caused to be heaped upon the memory of King Saul. His body, together with the bodies of his three sons, has been hung upon the wall at Bethshan for all to see, spit upon, and scorn. All gallant men and brave who hear my voice are called upon to join in the rescue of the four bodies from the wall of Bethshan. All right, men, we will leave immediately and be in Bethshan by early morning.
And when they had brought the bodies of Saul and his three sons to Jabesh-Gilead, they gave them an honorable burial and fasted 7 days in memory of the many deeds of valor Saul and his sons had performed during his reign as king. Meanwhile, David and his men had returned to Ziklag after rescuing their women, children, and possession from the Amalekites, and they began rebuilding the city of Ziklag.
Lunch is ready, David.
Oh, I'm so busy I shouldn't even stop to eat.
You've got to eat to maintain your strength and energy.
Yes. It's a good thing I have a wife who looks after me. What would I do without you, Abigail?
I brought your lunch right here to you on the job, so you really won't need to lose much time.
Excuse the intrusion, sir. There's a man in from the battlefield to see you personally. Yeah, this is he. Oh,
thank you, General. Well, your clothes are rent. You have dirt on your head, and you bow yourself to the ground before me, doing obeisance. What's the meaning of all this? Where are you from?
I've just escaped from the camp of Israel, sir.
How did the battle go? Well, tell me, how did the battle go?
Very badly, sir. Many of the men fled. Many are fallen wounded or dead, and And King Saul is dead, sir.
What? The king is dead?
Yes, sir. Also his son.
His son?
Jonathan, sir.
Jonathan? My friend. How do you know that Saul and Jonathan are dead?
Oh, well, sir, I just happened to be on Mount Gilboa. That's where the fighting was at the time. Anyway, there I was, and I saw King Saul leaning upon his spear. Yes. Tired out, I guess, from fleeing before the chariots and horsemen of the Philistines. But when he looked up and saw me, he said, "Who are you?" And I answered that I was an Amalekite.
You're an enemy?
Oh, no, sir, I'm an Amalekite, all right, but a friend, not an enemy. Anyway, King Saul said to me, "Come close and slay me, for anguish fills my soul."
And you, what did you say and do?
I went close, sir, just like he commanded. Then I saw that he was wounded from an arrow and couldn't live. So I fell upon him and slew him. Then I took the crown from off his head and the royal bracelet from off his arm and brought them to you. Here they are, my lord.
And David and all the camp mourned and wept and fasted all that day for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people and for the house of Israel who had been slain by the sword. While David mourned for Saul, the Amalekites stood idly by, unable to understand the significance of the scene he was witnessing. Recovering from his first shock of grief, David turned to the young man before him.
You say that you're an Amalekite?
Yes, sir.
How does it happen that you were not afraid to slay Saul, the anointed of our God?
Oh, well, I know, sir, that Saul and you were mortal enemies, and that you would welcome the death of Saul. You might even pay me a handsome reward for slaying him and bringing you his crown and bracelets, emblems of his position as king.
Sergeant, this young Amalekite has just pronounced his own death sentence.
What?
Go, kill him.
Slay me? What for?
Your blood be upon your head, for your own mouth has testified against you when you admitted to the slaying of the Lord's anointed.
I didn't kill Saul.
Sergeant, do as I have commanded.
Yes, sir.
David's grief at the death of Saul was sincere and deep. He did not exult in the fall of his enemy, who treated him with distrust and cruelty, but rather, David chose to remember only that which was noble and kingly about him. In his deep and genuine sorrow for Saul and Jonathan, David poured out his grief in a touching poem.
Thy glory, O Israel, is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor upsurging of the deep. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than the eagles. They were stronger than the lions. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Jonathan lies slain upon thy high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?